I'm now going to do the Bible reading of Ephesians 4. It's also long, so stand by. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention that the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is what it is said: Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well done, Wynn Brothers. Liam, you're lucky tonight. You're getting two sermons, mate. So you're welcome. All right. I'm going to pray. And then we will open the Word of God. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you that you are so good to us, that you have given us everything that we need, that you've given us every spiritual blessing, and that in you we can find hope and freedom. And so as we open your word tonight, God, would you bring about a freedom in our lives, that as we believe and follow your word, follow your instruction, that you would lead us into greater freedom in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last year or so, I'd say, I've learned a lot about the power of imitation. And I've discovered it as I've read through one book in particular that's really opened my eyes to the way that we can imitate people and other people can imitate us. And I've actually bought the book here because I want to show it to you guys, because it's been a huge life-changing book for me. It's called There Is a Monster Under My Bed Who Farts. A Monster Under My Bed Who Farts. It's a great book. It's about, well, you can probably tell from just the title, but it's about this kid who has a monster under his bed who farts. And everyone thinks the kid is farting, but he's like, no, it's the monster. Why doesn't anyone believe me? And there's a massive twist ending, so if you don't want to, spoilers, like, cover your ears now. But it turns out that at the end of the book, you find out that it's not actually a monster, but it's his little toy, and he's the one that's been farting all along. So it is his fault. And so you're probably wondering, what does this have to do with imitation? Well, look, This isn't usually the book I'd pick up for myself for some light reading. I bought this for Abby, and every time I would read the book to her, and we'd open a page, and the monster would fart, I would make a fart noise, because it's funny, and she thought it was funny. And so I'd fart, I'd be like, pfft. And then after a few times reading it, Abby also started making fart noises. She's like, pfft. And every time that she sees the book now, no matter if we're reading it or not, she starts making fart noises. She's like, that, pfft, pfft. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this kid is copying me. She is imitating what I'm doing. And that's really concerning for me as a parent, because I'm like, what are you watching? What are you seeing me do? But it's not just the book now, it's a whole bunch of things. So she waters the garden when I water the garden. She wants to help unpack the dishwasher. She gets all her Pokemon toys and gathers them around for a tea party, which I may or may not have been doing before Abby was around. Much to my disappointment, she started imitating my dad cheering every time the South Sydney Rabbitohs team song happens. She goes, yay! And I'm like, don't do that. Just don't do that. But I came to realize that the imitation is just some part of human nature. And Abby copies me as a dearly loved child. And she sees what I do and what Eleanor does and what other people close to us do, and she imitates us. But let's be honest, right? Because it's not just kids who do imitating. Adults do it all the time. We imitate people that we look up to, whether it's sports stars, celebrities, people who we hold in high regard, or even just those that we hang out with on a day-to-day basis. We imitate all kinds of things: fashion, language, lifestyle, choices, behaviors, habits, all kinds of different things. And I mean, we've literally got a group of people who make a living off it now. They're called influencers, your social media influencers. And the whole idea is that you've got this big personality on a social media platform, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, whatever it might be, and a big company would like have this person wear their brand or like buy their face cream or whatever it is, and then hope that people would copy them in buying the same product. We have a whole market for it today. And you might be here tonight and you might be like, well, you know what? I'm my own person. I don't copy no one. I don't imitate anyone. But I'm here to tell you that if that's you saying that, you would be wrong. We all imitate people. It's simply part of human nature. We can't help but imitate. It's just the way that we're wired. So, you will always imitate someone. That's the bottom line. The question needs to be asked, who are you imitating? And so, we've been looking at this idea for a while now. And we've discussed that we are both supposed to be one, as in united with God, but also one and united as a church, as the body of Christ. And Paul told us last week that it's really important how we live our lives, how we choose to live our lives. And when we look at this next chapter of Ephesians, Paul gives the church at Ephesus one goal. It's to be imitators of God. In Ephesians 5:1, he says, be imitators of God. And so basically, that's the whole premise of my message tonight. If you get nothing else, be an imitator of God. But what does that look like? Because if you are a follower of Jesus, it is critically important that you understand what it means to imitate God. Because we're always going to imitate someone. And that's a massive calling, right? To be an imitator of God. And this is what Paul says in Ephesians 5, chapter 1. I'll read the whole thing. It says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. The calling is to imitate God, just like dearly loved children imitate their parents. Just like Abby imitates me every time I make a fart noise. And And I mean, it's easy for us, right, to see how this plays out with a human child and a human parent. It's something we can visibly see. But how in the world are we supposed to imitate God as mere humans, to imitate a being of limitless understanding and power who is beyond our comprehension, who is not confined to time or space, who laid the very foundations of the universe and holds galaxies in his hands, whose breath alone can create life? How are we supposed to imitate a being like that? Well, luckily, Paul is not suggesting that we need to take classes in crafting galaxies. But he does say that we are to live a life of love just as Jesus loved us. The calling is to look at the life of Jesus, examine what he did, and copy that. And in the risk of giving a Sunday school answer, we're supposed to look at the life of Jesus and ask, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? Now, I recognize that that's easier said than done, right? Because we can look at the words of Scripture, but sometimes the situation that's going on in our life isn't something that Jesus faced, isn't something that Jesus dealt with. So how can we take what Jesus did when he was on earth, apply it to our own life now? How does that work 2,000 years later? But Paul, in his writing, gives us some tips as to things that we can do to practically be imitators of God. And it goes back into chapter 4. And I'm going to read some of it out for us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. He says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must no longer steal, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen." And says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you have been sealed for from the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." And then he continues into chapter 5, verse 3. "But among you there must not be any hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God." And that's a full-on passage, right? He spells out what it means, what it looks like to be an imitator of God. And it's important that when we look for someone to imitate, they're worth imitating, right? And Jesus is the only person who has ever existed that is worthy of complete imitation. Like, you might pick up good traits here and there from people, but Jesus is the only one that is worth complete imitation. And so these are the things that we need to be striving for as imitators of God: to avoid unwholesome talk, not to be sexually immoral, to avoid greed, but rather be honest, generous, kind, compassionate, and forgiving. And notice that Paul says in verse 3, "among you." He's talking specifically to the church, the body of Christ. He isn't speaking to non-believers. This is for us. And yeah, he's talking to the church in Ephesus, but he's also talking to us here today. It's relevant still 2,000 years later. And he gives this whole code of conduct for two main reasons. Firstly, so that we can be united as one body. The church is absolutely useless if we're divided against one another. Absolutely useless. If there's infighting, if we're making crude jokes about one another, if we're only concerned about our own wealth and prosperity over the well-being of others, then no group of people in any circumstance are ever going to be effective. Ever. The body only works if every part is working together in unity to achieve their goal. And our goal is to be imitators of Christ. And secondly, because we're supposed to be a city on a hill, a light to the world. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to stand out. And so when Paul sees the state of the ancient world, like Aidan was telling us about earlier, and he sees the culture in Ephesus, and he looks at it, and he sees sexual immorality, especially in places of worship, Paul says, we are going to stand against that cultural tide because we're imitators of God. And we need to look different. And so when people see the church, what they're supposed to do is look at the church and go, oh, that's what God looks like. That's what God is supposed to look like. But it's tricky, right? It's tricky. It's not easy, especially where we live in a world where our culture, the current culture of Australia, the Shire, does not align with what the Bible teaches. So we're leaving church, we're entering in a different section of society, and it's telling us mixed messages from what we're hearing here. How do we make those things work? And we're always impacted by the culture that we live in, for better or worse. And for the church in Ephesus, Christianity was not the dominant religion at the time. And their way of life didn't align with someone who followed Christ. And that's why Paul stresses the importance of right Christian living. Because once the church finished gathering, people head back into their everyday life, they interact with people outside of the church community, and it's so easy to get washed into the culture of the world. And as people, we have a tendency to think that just because everyone's doing something, then that can make it okay. Just because our culture says something's fine doesn't make it so. But we can believe that. And we go, oh, well, just because our culture says that something's okay, maybe I don't need to follow the biblical instruction that Paul gives. Or maybe I've misunderstood it. Or maybe he was talking about a certain time and period. Maybe it doesn't totally relate to me nowadays. It's fine. Everyone's doing it. How bad can it be, really? And all of a sudden, we're stuck in a culture of gossip where it's fine because everyone does it. There's TV shows around it that whole premises are based on gossiping about one another. So our culture says it's fine, so it's fine. Why not? Or we don't feel the need to hold to the idea of sexual purity that Paul's talking about here, because the idea is literally laughed at in mainstream media. But God calls us to be different, to stand out. Too often, unfortunately, it's easier to blend in. And I want to show you a clip right now of a social experiment that demonstrates just how easily it can be to conform to the world around us by following what everyone else is doing. So Ethan's going to whack that one up for us.
To answer that question, we set up a hidden camera experiment to see if this woman would stand up at the sound of this tone, simply because everyone else is. You might be thinking you'd never go along with this. Or would you? After just three beeps, and without knowing why she's doing it, this woman is now conforming perfectly to the group. But what happens if we take the group away?
Elaine, please. Okay,
now she's alone, the crowd is gone, and nobody is watching her, except our hidden cameras. What do you think she'll do? She's now conforming to the rules of the group without them even being there. Now, watch what happens when we introduce another outsider who doesn't know the rules.
Have a seat, and they'll be out in just a couple minutes. Great, thanks so much.
Step. If
everybody was doing it, so I thought I was supposed to.
Think she'll teach the new guy what to do? We kept the cameras rolling as more unsuspecting patients arrived. And slowly but surely, what began as a random rule for this woman has now become the social norm for everyone in this waiting room.
There you go. My favorite part is I love when the guy asks her, she's like, why are you standing up? And she's like, everyone else was doing it. Man, it gets me every time. But it's like, by the end of it, the experiment, you have this whole room of people who have legitimately no idea why they are standing up whatsoever. They're all doing it because one person was doing it. And so you had at the beginning, everyone was kind of in on it, and she was the odd one out. But then she taught everyone else what to do. And so we need to be really careful as followers of Christ that we aren't doing that, that we aren't getting caught up in the typical behaviors of the current cultural climate of our world, where all of a sudden we're living in a way that's contrary to God's word. And when we're asked why we're doing it, we're like, everyone else was doing it. It's a real risk that we face. Now, I do need to be careful here because I don't want you to hear me just say this. I don't want you to hear me say, don't hang out with people who don't follow Jesus. They're bad influences. They'll corrupt you. Don't go anywhere near them. Don't even look at them. Like I'm some sort of overprotective parent who doesn't want their child hanging out with a Melbourne Storm fan. And next thing you know, you're wearing a Cameron Smith jersey and it's like all over from there. They're no good. Don't hang out with them. But in reality, God has not called us to haul ourselves up in our little Christian bubble either. Rather, it's the opposite. We're called to go into the world, to be light, to be a city on a hill that should not be hidden, but visible for all to see. But we go into that world having a firm foundation rooted and established in being an imitator of God, so when that we're impacted by the current culture, we do not shake. We stand firm with being imitators of God. And also that we're creating our own culture of love, just as Christ loved us, demonstrating that to the world. And this is how Paul puts it in Ephesians 5:8. He says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it's said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" And I love how Paul puts it, because he doesn't say, try and be a light. Paul says, you are light. It's not something that you do to shine a light. It's who you are. You are light. You are children of the light. First and foremost, for the church, for the body of Christ, to be ones who sharpen, encourage, strengthen one another. And then for the world, to be able to go out and shine the light of Christ. So the question is, where are you shining your light? Where are you shining your light? For me, when I thought about this, I had a few places. For me, I wanted to make sure I played in a soccer team of non-Christian guys, so I could be a light in that environment. A few years back, me and a few friends, we created our body surfing team, the Budgie Boys. One, because it's heaps of fun, and I can see Sean over there wearing the shirt proudly represent the Budgie Boys. Because it's heaps of fun, but it also creates an opportunity for us to hang out with people that don't know Christ. And to share a life of love with those people. For me, I also have my school community, which I'm a part of as a chaplain, both to be a light to the students and staff, to be a support to what some deem the difficult children, but also to listen to those who are hurting and to be there for the staff and to hang out and be a presence of light. So our goal is to be imitators of God, living a life of love just as Christ loved us, and then to go into our world to be that light. And I remember going into my schools for the first time as a chaplain or a scripture teacher, and you've got this title. And people have this idea of who you are or what you're about before they even talk to you. And I remember going in the first time and people were really standoffish. And they'd kind of look at you and be like, I don't know what to make of you. But some people gave me the weirdest looks before I even had a conversation with them. And so when I go into schools, particularly where I'm a chaplain at, I'm really trying to walk this fine tightrope where I want to be different. I want to stand out for Christ. But at the same time, I can't be a complete weirdo. Like, I've got to have some shred of normality. Otherwise, people aren't going to want to interact with me. And at the same time, as I said, I want to be somewhat normal. But I want to be relatable and approachable, but not blend in too much that I'm the same as everyone else. So how do you navigate this tightrope? And it's not easy, and it's something that I wrestle with each and every day. I feel like I've managed to kind of navigate it fairly well. And yeah, there are some things that I could work on, but I try and be relatable as one of them. So in my school, I started up the school footy tipping comp to help connect and relate to people there. I also started what Paul Summers would refer to as the adult milkshake tasting club. Connecting on a cultural level, but not being shaped by the culture. But I also have to do things that make me stand out. And so one small thing that I'm doing is that, you know, at school, Friday drinks are a really important thing. And so I constantly have to tell people that, sorry, I can't come to Friday drinks because I'm coming to youth group. And yes, that is part of my job. But there was a time where it wasn't. And I would consistently miss out on things on a Friday night because I'm going to youth, because I'm serving God in that way. Or for me, it could be something as simple as not joining in with the rest of the crowd as they talk negatively about someone, but trying to add a bit of positivity in. And it's just these small things that can make us stand out for God amongst the crowd. When culture tells us that it's okay to join in with what everyone else is doing, we stand up and we ask, how can I imitate God in this moment? So what could it be for you to stand out for God? Could it be the shows you choose to watch, the music that you listen to, the events that you choose to miss out on, the things that you say no to because you know that that's not a person who follows, that's not something that Jesus would have done? Is it making a meal for someone in need? Is it being a friend to the person that no one else wants to be friends with? Is it helping the sick? Is it going the extra mile when no one else will? Because that's the high calling of an imitator of God. Because that's what God did for us. Because when God loved us, he showed it in an absolutely radical way. Where he went the extra mile, came to this earth as a man, died on a cross for our sin. When we were dead in our sin, when we didn't deserve love. God demonstrated his love for us so that we can experience true freedom. So that we can become light and there's no longer any darkness in us. And when you experience that great gift, that freedom that God offers, surely you want others to experience it as well. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because you are light. You are light. And we are to be imitators of God. So in conclusion, what should we do with this? This idea of being imitators of God. Three things that we can pull directly from the passage. The first one, Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Read the Gospels. Read about who Jesus is. Then reread them. Learn who Christ is. The more we understand who Jesus is, the greater impact we will have in his kingdom. The greater light we will be, and we'll be able to faithfully imitate God. Number two, in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. This is where we pray and ask the Spirit of God to come in and change things in us that aren't imitating God. We need to be open to doing that and allowing God access into our lives, into our heart to mold and shape us into being Christ-like. And finally, Ephesians 5:19. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worship God. Continue to give praise to God, giving thanks and reminding yourself of what he has done in your life, but also to encourage and build up the body as we're one in this together for our one goal of imitating God. And so we're going to do that right now, and the band's going to come up. And whilst we can't sing, it does say to make music in your heart to the Lord. And so I want to encourage you to take this time to reach out to God, giving thanks for everything in the name of Jesus Christ, who perfectly demonstrated how to live a life of love, and ask this week and into the future, how can we be better imitators of God? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you that you have made yourself known to us, and that when we were dead in our sin, you came and you rescued us and you showed us the greatest love of all. And so we want to imitate you. We want to live a life that is worthy of your Son's name. And though we may never completely get there, God, would you help us to be more like Jesus, growing and developing in our faith, allowing your Spirit to change and to mold us so we can demonstrate your love, your light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.